Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening. This is Dr. Lorraine Goodwin. You're listening to Carpe Diem, Dr. Lorraine Goodwin. This is December 9th, 2015. Gorgeous day. I'm here in Central California, and we're expecting a lot of rain. And I guess maybe the atmospheric changes or something. It kind of makes you more spiritual. I feel a little bit more connected, or a little bit more just spiritual, I guess is the only way I can think of it today. So this is not a great topic for me, because I am feeling more in the Christmas mood, listening to stories on the news that really upset me about different things, including the man who's shot people at Planned Parenthood because they were killing babies, and he was in court today, and they showed pictures of him ranting, saying, "Yes, I did it. I killed those people because they're killing babies." And he's as angry as could be. He's angry as probably the day he did the acts. And some other stories that have come out. And it just really connects me with the madness of the world. There was a story of somebody who, a beautiful horse, it was young, it was a young horse, and somebody took it onto the back of a farm and tied its legs together in some sort of fashion where the horse couldn't get out, and then tied the horse to a pole. And when people found the horse had already died. And I said, what kind of people do we have here? I mean, it's not a Muslim problem. It's a people problem. Something is driving people to madness, to insanity. And I don't think you can say it's a religion that's doing it. I don't think you can say it's one group. I see it through all groups. All groups are going crazy. And who are we, and what are we trying to do, and where are we going, and what is driving us so mad? Is it the television? Is it the radio? Is it the music? Is it the computer? The messages that we hear constantly, you know, for the Planned Parenthood shooting, some people say it was Fiorina and her very emotional speech when she was supposed to be doing a debate, and she was talking about how Planned Parenthood was in there killing babies, and she saw terrible graphic videos of baby killing. You know, we don't need that kind of speech. It's too emotional. We have too many people in the United States who are on the verge, hanging on by their fingernails, trying to keep sanity, trying to keep reality, trying to keep from hurting their family members, trying to keep them from hurting other people, trying to keep from exploding on their boss and killing him or their coworkers. You know, we don't want that. And irresponsible speech just leads to setting off those people who are the most delicate. And listening to that man who did the shooting at Planned Parenthood, you can see he's enraged. He doesn't want antipsychotic drugs. He's angry. He's glad he did what he did, and he wants to save the babies. Now, what's it in his history that made him go that way? I don't think he's a death penalty person, in that he's mad as hell, and somebody's set him off. And how many other people are out there set off too, that we just don't know about yet, but they're trying their best not to do something wild and crazy. And until they get to the point where they really don't care anymore. And then they decide to go and do it, and then we're left with the results. You know, people have lost family members, and it's just really, really bad. Well, that I'm supposed to be talking about today is about Jeb Bush. He was asked by one of the reporters on when he was doing publicity for his run for presidency, in the Republican Party, which stands for no abortions, no killing fetuses at any stage of pregnancy. And so he was asked, Jeb, would you kill baby Hitler if you could? And Jeb said, yes, yes, he would definitely kill baby Hitler. Well, I said, well, how are you going to kill baby Hitler? That's an awkward question. I mean, I would have thought that was a crazy question. How do you know you're killing baby Hitler and not some innocent child? You know, we see women right around Christmas. You see lots of women. There was a baby who was abandoned in the alley, who was put under some trash. They wanted the baby to die, but the baby made enough noise that two women walking through the alley heard the crying. One woman kept saying, I hear a baby. The other woman saying, no, 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 that's not a baby. And then they finally went looking through the trash and found a baby. You know, you can't say you're going to kill baby Hitler because we don't know what baby Hitler looks like. Baby Hitler looks like a baby. He looks like every other baby. He didn't have a mustache. He wasn't spouting hate speech. He was a baby. Kill baby Hitler. You know, and that incites people. People always think, you know, there are lots of people who think their kids are possessed or demons or too bad to live or they're better off dead or, you know, the messages go on and on or they need to be punished. They're kept in closets or they're raped or they're tortured. You know, you can't use that kind of speech when you're talking about children. Children are defenseless. And if you have adults who are going around saying they're going to kill a baby, you're going to set people off. You're going to set people off. And Jeb Bush saying that about killing baby Hitler, somebody was set off. We don't know who. Maybe the woman who put her baby in the alley. Maybe some kid who's being tortured today that we haven't found out about yet. Maybe some kid who's starving. The parents are refusing to give him food. Or maybe some girl who's being, or boy who's being repeatedly raped. You know, we're getting more and more rapes of boys, and we don't talk about that at all. You know, the boys don't even expect that they're going to be raped until it happens, and when it happens, they can't believe it happens. They feel they're the only ones that were raped because we don't talk about it. We need to talk about it. Rapes, boys and girls, needs to be discussed much more openly. And how do you save yourself? But getting back to Jeb Bush saying he'd kill baby Hitler, I mean, I sent a chill up and down my spine. Killing a baby, I can't. I mean, how much of Nazi Germany is that, you know, where they felt all Jews, no matter what your age, you were, you deserved death. And who's the judge? Who's the one that says that this baby is baby Hitler? Baby is the one that needs to be killed. That's a weird, eerie thing. And for anybody to say that, much less a presidential candidate, really makes me ill to my stomach. I can't even fathom that somebody would answer that in that way. Evil thought, perverse thought, and it makes me weep in my heart for all the children who are being tortured. If you kill baby Hitler, Hitler was a white male. How are you going to find the baby, the babies who are going to do evil in the world who are Muslim? How do you kill those babies? How do you identify those babies and kill them? Or are you killing all the babies? Or are you picking out the good babies, maybe by race, because Hitler was white male? How do you figure this out? You know, we'll have to ask Jeb Bush what's his formula for figuring out how do you figure out who is the bad baby, who is the evil baby, who is the baby that does not deserve to live. Abortions, I'm not for abortion after the first 12 weeks, that's 3 months. Before the first 3 months, a lot of babies are aborted normally just because they're defective, and that's a normal thing that occurs to prevent children being born with all types of genetic problems. Once the genetic code isn't correct, then the baby's growing in a deformed or unusual manner, they often will abort normally. But after 12 weeks, most pregnancies stick. And if you take care of the person and get them prenatal care, they can usually go on to have the baby. Doesn't mean the baby's going to be normal. They still have to go through testing and so forth and monitoring. But the babies usually will come just about to term. And whether or not the baby survives, of course, depends on what the baby is like after it's delivered. I guess Jeb Bush could not be an OBGYN, because if you're going to start picking babies to live and die, you know, there's just too much ability to kill babies as an OBGYN. So I guess we should all be lucky that Jeb Bush is not an OBGYN, and Jeb Bush was not your parent's OBGYN, because he might have decided you were baby Hitler. But we need to look at all of this stuff and try to figure out what's going on. The other thing is, you know, as the Republicans want to pull back health care, the Republicans under Ryan, the new Speaker of the House, he's always been against Obamacare. He was very, very big in the fight against President Obama and an advocate. They voted maybe 60 times to get rid of Obamacare. If you consider how much money that costs, every time they do a vote, they have to pay all of the people that are there, all the staff people, the news people that come there have certain things they need, so they also have staff. You're turning on all the lights, you're turning on all the people who do the recording. So they probably spend $1 million trying to get the whole thing up and going to get all of those House of Representatives, those representatives in there and working and talking and running around and so forth for the full day. 60 times. That's what, 60 million or more, you know, for the same vote. Get rid of Obamacare. That's what they want. So now they're going to not fund Obamacare. They're just going to let it sit and deflate. They're not going to stop it. They're going to let it sit there and say, well, you can have Obamacare, but we're not going to give it any money. That's the people you have in Congress. Now, what happens to you when they don't fund Obamacare? Well, say you were a person in your 40s who had good insurance and Obamacare came out, so you had a choice of plans, or maybe your insurance company said, hey, I can't afford to do this. We're going out and we're going to let you pick up a new plan. So you picked up a new plan that you were happy with, and everything's going fine. So your new health care provider says, okay, well, you know, you're overweight, and you're complaining about your stomach, so they start telling you, okay, we have some gastric problems, you know, you have some gastric acid, and maybe you need to have some pills to keep the acidity down. And then you complain about some aches in your legs, and they say, well, you have some, you know, tendonitis or something, and they put that all in your chart. Now you've got all these diagnoses, and maybe you were doing well before with your last insurance. Maybe you didn't even use it. Now you got this new plan, and just because you're aging and you're on the new plan, you went to see the doctor's new doctor. He diagnosed some things your other doctor didn't do. Now you've got some things in there that's saying that you have some health problems. What happens when the Republicans drop Obamacare? What happens to that person? that person now has what we call pre-existing conditions. That will mean no health care company will want to pick them up because they look like they're going to have problems in the future, and they started to see a doctor on a regular basis, so they don't want to pay out the money. So if they drop Obamacare and you're dropped from your current insurance company because Obamacare has been canceled by the Republicans, who all have wonderful insurance for themselves and their families, you end up on the free market looking for somebody to take care of you. Okay, they look at you, they say, okay, well, now you're older. Say you're another 5 years older, and you keep on written in your chart that you have these health problems. Okay, and you might find somebody who will take you on, and they'll say, sure, we'll take you on, but they're going to quote you a huge price because of your pre-existing condition. And a pre-existing condition can be anything, anything. It all depends on how the doctor wrote it. But even if you wrote it in a very nice manner, the health insurance company still considers you a candidate for a pre-existing condition. Or say you go and you have your insurance. They don't tell you you have a pre-existing condition. They go and they take you and they give you a cost, which would be elevated because they know that you're looking for insurance and you don't have Obamacare behind you. Then you get sick later. And then the insurance company looks and says, well, here, you know, your last doctor before you came to us said that you had this, this, and this wrong with you, and you didn't tell us you had any health problems when you signed up. You know, you didn't tell us you had tendonitis. You didn't tell us you were having some heartburn. Well, these are pre-existing conditions. You lied to us, covering you for any GI problems. We're not covering you for any musculoskeletal problems. We're not covering you for, you know, brain or head problems because you mentioned once that you had a headache. So you're paying for insurance that's not covering a lot of parts of your body, a lot of things that you want to have covered. It's just a mess. So again, you know, this brings me back to my last thought. You need to make sure that you look and see how your congressperson is voting in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. And if they're voting against you and your interests, if they're voting that you will not have health insurance, if they're voting, you know, saying on one side, well, we don't want abortions, and on the other side, we're going to find babies that we think will become bad people and we're going to kill them after they're born. You know, if there's some kind of this difference, don't kill them while they're in utero, but once they're born, it's okay to kill people. Doesn't make sense. Get them out. Look what they're doing. Get them out. Okay, my time is up. And so they're telling me it's time to say goodbye. So it's goodbye and take care.